Hey, listeners, ever have trouble getting someone on the phone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. The best part of spring cleaning is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless, and then Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data, unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone and any Mint Mobile plan and bring your own phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. My team here, they're on Mint Mobile, and they like it.
For a fraction of the cost, Mint Mobile proved to have excellent coverage with no drop calls or unsent texts. Plus, they make it super easy for me to activate my device just by following a few simple steps online. And bam, done.
To get this new customer offer and the new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/literally. That's mintmobile.com/literally. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/literally. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
I feel the same. I love that, Rob. That's why we love each other. We must love each other right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's a lot of love coming through the airwaves. Good afternoon, good morning, good night, wherever this may find you. It is literally, and I am Rob Lowe. Today, we have the, iconic, Katie Sagal, Peg Bundy, come on, Katie Sagal, Sons of Anarchy, let's go. And also, don't sleep on 8 Simple Rules with the great John Ritter. And we didn't Futurama. I mean, that's some iconic stuff. And also one of the nicer people, married to Kurt Suter, creator of Sons of Anarchy and Mayans. I mean, there's a lot going on. As they say today, there's a lot to unpack. So let's roll. Katie Sagal. Hi, beautiful. How you been?
I've been good. Look how pro you are, man, with your studio and your...
Oh, man. I mean, you give me 200 episodes, I can figure something out.
Is that how many you've done?
We're into the 200s now.
Oh, wow. That's so great. Do you love it?
I love it. It's everything I thought it would be and more, because I get to have people on who I know really well, but the audience thinks they know, but they don't really know, right?
Right.
Like, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow, I've known her since she was 16. And, you know, so everybody thinks they know Gwyneth, and then she comes on the show. And then I have people that you and I have been in and around each other's lives, you know,
right. Forever.
And then I get people who I do not know at all. And that's also fun, but super different. I mean, I feel like when it's friends, it's conversations, and when it's people I don't know, it's questions, right? Because I don't know them.
I know.
That makes sense.
Well, kind of like us, really. I mean, I'm just trying to think. I've been doing this for so long, like you. Do we know each other? How do we know each other? When do we know each other? I'm not sure, because I know your wife for sure.
Yes, and maybe that's it. But I also know Joey.
Oh, okay.
So here's a good one. Here's a good one, audience. Deep cut. Katie's brother, Joey Segal, was very deep in the cut with early Charlie Sheen.
Yep.
And Robbie Lowe and Chad
and Sean
Lowe.
Penn and Nicolas Cage.
And Nicolas Cage. Yeah. And in fact, when we were all making our backyard movies, have you ever seen Nix? You ever seen that movie, Nix?
No.
Starring your brother?
No, you're kidding me. No.
Nix.
Oh, I have to. No, I don't.
Nix is a, I just hope Charlie has these movies somewhere. The Nix was, here's the entire premise. Charlie directed it. Your brother stars in it. It's your brother waking up out of bed to the Beatles song. What is that song? Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. Are you going to be in my dreams tonight?
Yeah.
So that's the song, which of course was not licensed. He just put it in the movie. And your brother goes to the mirror and shaves himself until his face is a bleeding pulp. That's it. That's the movie.
Oh, my God. Wow. No, I've never seen that. I don't think that's on his reel either.
I just know that it ruined that Beatles song for me.
Wow. So you guys must have been, how old were you guys? 20s? 19?
18, 19.
Now, were you in Peggy's...
Not in 18, 19. I know I'm old, but I was 18 or 19.
Now, Rob, were you in Peggy Fury's class?
No. Okay, so peeps, Peggy Fury... Oh, I have a lot of feelings. Peggy Fury was the acting coach.
Yes.
And I did know Peggy's daughters very well.
Ah, okay.
One of whom ended up marrying Jacob Dylan.
Oh.
I think is still with Jacob.
Really?
What are their names? I'll think of their names. So cute. But Peggy Fury was the acting coach. The Loft? Is that the name of it? The Loft?
I don't know. I am older than Joey, so I'm not quite sure what it was called. I just know that's how I knew Sean and Nick. I mean, everybody seemed to be in that world. I was not an actor at that time at all. I just wanted to be a rock star. That was my goal.
Well, you kind of are. You've kind of had the best of both worlds.
I didn't quite make it to rock star. I kind of burned it down. But you know, I'm happy the way things have worked. I still get to play music.
Who is your ideal femme rock star? Like when you think of a rock star, who would it be? Is it Joni? Is it Chrissy Hines? Is it?
Might be Chrissy Hines. Might be. I mean, a bit of Joni. I mean, Joni is.
We're never gonna sleep on Joni.
I don't even know if I put her in the rock star category so much as I would Chrissy or, even Stevie Nicks. You know.
Yeah.
All of that, but. You know, when I was coming up, it was more about blues music. That's kind of where I got into all this. Is kind of, I had a friend in high school who, he was a guitar player and he used to play Robert Johnson records for me and, you know, just old blues records. So that was my initial in. And then the Rolling Stones.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay. So have you ever met Mick?
Oh, no. I've never met the Rolling Stones. I met Paul McCartney. That was kind of cool.
Really cool.
Yeah. I'm sure you've met him. Have you met him? So nice.
I've met both. And they're both equally... Paul is... He's legendary for me and meeting, because we all get to meet a lot of really interesting people. But Paul's a standout because he is the nicest, most unassuming, iconic genius that I've ever met. I've met a lot of iconic geniuses, to the extent that there are a lot. But I've never met anybody who's more unassuming, regular,
personable.
And then Mick, on the other hand, makes a straight man question his sexuality.
Really?
Yeah, I had a dinner with Mick. Now, granted, this is not 84-year-old Mick.
Right? Oh, wow.
But this is like, 25 years ago.
Right.
And he gives you those eyeballs, he bats those eyes at you. And it's all flirty. And you go, wait a minute. Hang on a minute. Would I? I might. Could I? I don't know.
Just maybe. I always hear that about Warren Beatty. I've never met Warren Beatty, but my sister-in-law tells this story about meeting him in an elevator just for a second. And that he had this, he could make you feel like you were the only person on the planet in the room, you know, just his, the way he would beam at you. So I've never met him, but yeah, there are people like that.
Let's face it, Warren Beatty probably invented the elevator pitch. Can you imagine how many elevator like moments Warren Beatty has closed in his life?
You're probably right. You're absolutely right. Man,
My man is batting 900 easily.
Yeah, totally. Back to the Stones, though, you know, I was a more Keith Richards girl than a Mick Jagger girl. I mean, I love Mick, but I just love the way Keith plays. I love his rhythm guitar playing. I just think he's amazing.
I had one of the hallmarks of my sobriety. I'm going to be 34, if I make it to May, I'll be 34 years sober.
37.
I think I knew that.
Yes.
Congrats. We're old timers.
We are such old timers. Which, you know, that means whenever they ask you to speak, you got to speak, Rob. We need to need to have old timers speak. That's us. Oh my God.
I just committed to doing the Malibu meeting in June. I love the way they have to book speakers like 8 months in advance.
Yeah. For those meetings, for sure. Those are like events.
Yeah. They're events. Darling, I only do events. I only play big, large houses. So early in my sobriety, I'm talking maybe 4 months.
Right.
I'm backstage Rolling Stones, Paris.
Wow.
And I want to say Patty Hansen at the time, whoever Keith was with, comes up to me and says, Keith wants you to come back to the hotel and party.
Oh,
and man, I had that moment of like, I would have lived my whole life hoping to party at the hotel with Keith Richards.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes.
And here I was, and I didn't do it.
See? You had the gift of desperation. You know, that's what we call it. When we finally stay sober, it's because we just know that door has closed, man. You know, if you open it one more time, don't know what's going to happen.
Well, but we do know what's going to happen, and it's always bad. How many times have you heard people go, I got sober so young, and I was really going through a hard time. And, you know, look, I get it. You know, I've been sober now 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, and I'm never going to go back to that. But you know, like, I'm going to be in France for the summer.
Right.
And I just want to be able to have a glass of wine at dinner. And within like 5 weeks, they're arrested, fallen overboard, right?
Yeah. Or in the hospital or in the mental hospital or in jail, you know, it's really, you know, we think that's why, you know, I run into people all the time that say to me, like, you still go to those meetings? Why do you, what? And I just explained to them, I'm like, look, I have a disease that is bigger than me, that's cunning, baffling, and powerful. And I never know. I completely humble myself to it. Like I need to hear that stuff all the time. So that, you know, because now I'm sure you have this experience, Rob. It's not so much about picking up. It's the way I think. It's my thought process that tells me, oh dear, nothing's going to work out. You know, it's just that alcoholic way of looking at the world, which the longer I stay sober, the more spiritually aligned I am. That voice is quieted.
Do you ever get the, for me, when my mind isn't right, and I've been super lucky that my mind's been really pretty right for a few years now. I'll have an off day here or there, but there was a time even in sobriety where like I'd have a great day. Everything's great. Long-term great. All great, great, great. No clouds. Great. Wake up the next morning. I'm going to be hit by a train for sure.
Oh, yes.
There's no doubt the train is coming down the tracks for no good reason. You ever have that?
Oh, I have that. You know, when they say in the rooms, which I don't think people will completely understand this, but they say the road gets narrower. you know, the road gets narrower, I do believe, because those kind of thoughts still happen. And we still, I mean, we're quicker to understand that that's an alcoholic way of looking at things. But yeah, absolutely. I wake up with that. I woke up with it actually, was it this yesterday? I woke up with it because I have so many things on my plate that I'm trying to organize. And it's like too much for me. So I sort of feel like, oh my God, it's all gonna, you know, I'm not gonna be able to blah, 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 blah. And then I just have to simplify. I have to come back to where my feet are and realize that everything will get done. You know, nothing is catastrophic. And you know what helps me, Rob, is I sponsor a lot of people. I don't know if you do, but I work with newcomers and I really hear myself. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yes. And so I say to them what I need to say to myself. You know, it's a very selfish way of being of service because it's of service to me as well as to them. So.
Oh, for sure. Right?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah, I have a lot of people in my life, as I'm sure you do, in recovery. A lot of old timers, a lot, and a lot of new ones. I mean, my son Johnny is in recovery.
That's fantastic. How old is Johnny?
He's 28. He's got 8 years. Look, I love me a sober alcoholic. Oh. A sober alcoholic is my favorite person on planet Earth.
Wow. I feel the same. I love that, Rob. That's why we love each other. We must love each other right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's a lot of love coming through the airwaves today because sober alcoholics, sober addicts, because look, they're so interesting, flamboyant, usually pretty smart.
Yep.
You know, all that stuff. And they're just a blast. Yeah. You just don't want them to be functional.
Well, a blast. And also there, you know, I find for myself, you know, a lot of my drinking and using was behind social anxiety. So I like to hang out with other people that also comes up for them. And so we can talk about it like I'm in this room full of people and I don't really feel great. I don't feel comfortable because everybody's either getting loaded or they know each other and I don't know them. And I'm, you know, so I like the conversation with sober people for sure, where it just gets real.
Well, you know, no two travelers are exactly alike, and that means no two trips should be either. Texas, vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activity allow for such an infinite number of different travel experiences. I mean, I love Texas. I go like this. The people of Dallas, the culture of Austin, and I love any time I get there. If you're a beach person, well, you can go have fun in the sun with Texas' 350 miles of coastline. If you're a rugged vacation type, there's campgrounds, hiking trails, state parks. Golf is nuts there. Foodies. You got your Texas barbecue and live music in Austin. And of course, if you're into the cowboy scene, you can certainly find it there. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom trip matched to their own unique interests. So visit traveltexas.com/getyourown to get the only trip to Texas that matters, yours. That's traveltexas.com/getyourown. So I came home to a little gift in my bathroom the other day from our friends at Harry's. To get what you want, you have to challenge the status quo and blaze your own trail. You know who challenged the status quo? Harry's. They saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry and decided they had something better to offer. So instead of charging the same old ridiculous prices, Harry's found a way to make their beautifully designed razors, and they are beautiful, for a fraction of the price of the other big brands. Exceptional products, honest prices. That's Harry's. They have the highest customer satisfaction in shaving history and a no-risk trial. Don't like your shave? No worries. It's on them. Convenient subscription options that you can cancel at any time. And Harry's also has other self-care products that meet the same quality standards as their razors. Richly lathering, skin-softening body wash in scents like redwood, wildland, and stone. And an extra high-quality, amazing-smelling deodorant for just $5. I love their stuff. I'm so impressed by Harry's products. All of it. It's all good. Don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/rob. That's harrys.com/rob for a $3 trial set. I love fast cars, but there aren't a ton of high-performance EVs. They're certainly out here, there. But when I get a chance to get behind the wheel of one, I love it. And I was blown away by the Kia EV6 GT. When you get behind the wheel of the Kia, it is literally like being in a state-of-the-art rocket ship, but also comfortable. The thing goes from 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds. It is the premium driving experience. And of course, it's an EV. So the climate thanks you. SiriusXM provides access to over 165 channels in the vehicle. Music, sports, news, comedy, yacht rock. Let's go. Little Steely Dan going in your Kia. Come on now. So check it out today. It is the all-electric Kia EV6 GT. I had a blast checking it out. Believe me, you should do it yourself via kia.com/EV6 to learn more. That is kia.com/EV6. Kia, movement that inspires. And you, like me, have been married for many, 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 many years.
Oh, yes.
You and Kurt have been married for many years, like Cheryl and I.
Yeah, Kurt and I have been together, we'll be 20 years married this year. And not as long as you guys, because I was married a couple times before Kurt. And Kurt's got 30. Is today the 23rd? Oh my God, tomorrow is Kurt's sober birthday. I think he has 31 years.
Gee, that's so amazing. I love that. Probably that's why his work feels so authentic to me around anything that's druggy. Any sort of druggy storyline feels very lived, as they say, lived in, my new favorite phrase. Kurt, her husband, Kurt Sutter, for those of you, I'm sure you know, Mayans, Sons of Anarchy. He made me get a motorcycle. Watching that show made me, watching that show made me get a motorcycle.
How did Cheryl feel about that?
She did not like it. And a leather vest, an accoutrement that I never thought I would ever want. But I wanted some of that really dirty, low-rent, white boy kind of fashion.
I hear you, man. Did you get some tattoos?
I only have one from the back in the day. And I'm thinking about maybe doing it. Because I was like, I want to do some of that shit.
I watched Kurt during the course of shooting Sons of Anarchy. He had like two or three. Now he's complete, full sleeves, full chest, full, you know, he's the tatted man. And got me in there. I'm all tatted too.
Oh, yeah. Now let me ask you a question. Your tats have color.
Yep.
Do his have color as well?
No, he's all black and white. I just wanted to, I have both. I have black and white on my leg and I have color on my arms, but, I hear you. There's something. I'm in Mexico City right now. I've never seen so many tattoos. Every person everywhere has tattoos. It's pretty awesome.
Really?
Yeah. It's a thing. I think you got to go out there, Rob. Maybe,
You know what? Maybe I'll do, because I've been toying around. My tattoo that I still have, I got right as I got sober, and it was my, I'm still crazy. I still got it tattoo. Right? It was like, I may be sober, but I'm wild.
What is it of?
It's, now it looks like a blob. And so I need to get it covered up. It was a koi fish, like a traditional Japanese tattoo, like super Japanese traditional. And now it's all fucked up. But here's what I've learned, that fucked up old tattoos are actually a thing. This is what I'm being told.
How so?
That they're in that it's been like, you don't, no, you don't touch that. That's like, it's like an antique.
Oh.
It's like an antique original piece of art.
Oh, interesting.
That's what I mean. Listen, listeners, please call the low line and tell me if I'm right about that, or if somebody's just pulling my leg, because I want to get it shimmed up.
Yeah, well,
they're like, no, don't touch it.
But does that mean like if you have your first girlfriend on you, like that's sacred?
No, that's different.
No, that's different.
That's different.
Right? You're talking about an art
I'm talking about a piece of art by a major tattoo artist.
Got it.
That has been lived in for 30 plus years, you know?
That makes
Interesting.
Sense.
Interesting, I don't know.
That actually makes sense to me. Yeah, I would think, because there's some amazing tattoo artists. I mean, really incredible artists.
Now, first of all, why are you in Mexico City?
I'm shooting a movie. I'm shooting a movie called Trust with Sophie Turner. And
yep,
you're going to ask me who, I think it's for A24. I'm not quite sure, but that's what I'm doing. I'm doing a movie, which I've never been to Mexico City, so I was very excited to come. I haven't seen much of it yet, but today, after all this, I'm going to go wander about. And,
good.
You know, I'm just a little pissed off I didn't listen in Spanish class because
me neither.
It just makes me crazy. I had 3 years of Spanish paid.
I was stupid. We had in Malibu Park Junior High, you could take French or Spanish. And I was like, well, I can either practice my Spanish everywhere around here, or I can go to France, which is fancy. Nobody speaks French anymore. Almost nobody. I made a bad decision.
But it's pretty sexy. French is pretty sexy. Can you speak it?
Un petit peu. Mais oui. So stupid.
No, in Spanish, you know, Spanish is about to be the number one language. I mean, I feel so lame.
Sure. I know what I need to ask you about. You need to talk to me about, we lost one of the greats this year, Norman Lear, who had, he was your godfather. Is that right? Am I getting this right? How does Norman Lear become your godfather?
Norman introduced my parents. My mother worked on the Lux, the Jerry Lewis Dean Martin Lux Hour. She was a script supervisor. This is, you know, in the day. And that was Norman's show. And Norman had met my father, who was a director, while he was directing Yiddish theater, and put them together, introduced them. And they got married and made me. I wouldn't be here without Norman. And then Norman was my godfather. He was him, Bud Yorkin, you know.
Oh my God.
All the early TV guys, even Leonard Nimoy was around. I mean, this is when they were coming up. And so Norman was the last, my parents died when I was young. And Norman was kind of the last hold, makes me emotional because he was the last hold, the last connection that I really had to my parents. That's how Norman was my godfather. And he would call me out of the blue. I mean, Norman's the guy, I got hit by a car about 3 years ago. I was fine. I was fine. I fractured a few things. I'm in the hospital first day. The first call I get is Norman, and to make sure that I'm okay. You know, he was just that guy, you know, with his busy, busy world here, he's calling me. And yes, I absolutely adored Norman. What a life. What a wonderful man. Did you know Norman?
I only went to a couple of like political fundraisers at his house, and I really didn't get a chance to get to. There are a few that got away, right? There are a few in the list that I go, how did I never spend any? He's one of them. But his work, obviously.
And such a menschy dude. And so funny. I mean, up until, I think I saw him like a year ago, I ran into him. Well, this would happen a lot. I would see him wandering around the Country Mart, you know, the Brentwood Country Mart. And there he is with his hat and his ponytail. And I, you know, he was old. And I would come up, I would say, Norman, it's Katie. And he'd look at me and go, I know. I mean, he was just so with it. You know what I mean? And I had just spoken to him, actually. He was, he'd call me up. He'd say, hey, you want to do Maude? I'd say, sure, let's do Maude. Oh. You know?
So tell me of those great Norman shows. You did Maude. What was that like?
No, I didn't do Maude. He called me up just last year and said, let's redo Maude.
Oh, redo it?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I know. It would be fantastic. It would be great. But, you know, who knows? Whatever. You know, I said,
I mean, you never know.
You never know. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you would have been too young. You'd have been too young to be in any of the classic Normans.
No. Yeah, probably. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Norman is definitely way older than me. I mean, one of the few that is, but. And I say that lovingly and kindly to myself. I don't say that like a diss.
No, it's a good thing. I mean, I turned 60 this week, so
nice.
I'm into it. I'm down. I feel great. I think it's. I mean, what's the alternative, right?
I know. Well, and for those of us that, you know, hear about people losing their, you know, I'm just grateful. All of it's gravy, as far as I'm concerned.
You know who I see all the time when I go to Hawaii? I see your TV husband, Ed O'Neill.
Oh, yes. He has a place there. He loves Hawaii.
There's no one funnier. I mean, his stories are, and he's done the podcast. He's beyond belief. First of all, he drives around in this like weird Vespa motor scooter that's like powder blue.
No way.
And it's so like not, for it is not a Kurt Suter hog.
Oh,
let's put it that way.
Oh my God. He's so funny. He does. He doesn't wear a helmet, right? So he's just.
Oh, he wears remember Kazoo on the Flintstones?
No.
The little alien that came down from outer space in the Flintstones. He looks like Kazoo.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
He has the blue helmet. It's very, not what you think at all.
No, he's funny.
But he's funny.
He's a funny dude, man. That job was incredible. I mean, I've worked with really funny people. I worked with Ed. I worked with John Ritter. Just pee in your pants funny every single day. So I've been really, I love Ed. Ed is great. Made me laugh.
And Ritter was, when I was in drama class in junior high, I would watch Three's Company and then we would just redo the episodes in drama class. And I always played John Ritter because he's a murderer.
You didn't play Chrissy.
What a killer. I didn't play it, of course. Yes.
Chrissy.
Gee. What was Ritter like? I another one I never got to know.
He was the kindest, funniest, like an angel. I mean, really. I mean, I think he had, like most funny people have sort of the quiet, dark side. I think that was there too. But he was so giving. As an actor. And, you know, here's my John Ritter story. So after I played Peg Bundy for 11 years, it was hard for people to not see me as that, mm-hmm. just as him with Tripper, you know, he too. So ABC cast him in this TV show, which come to find out later, he had to go read too.
Oh boy.
And they didn't want to bring me in because they didn't want it to be Jack Tripper and Peg Bundy. So
my favorite thing. We wouldn't want it to be two of the most iconic, funny people on television. Well, no, we will not stand for that.
No. I mean, it was wild. So I go in to read. I had to go read with him. I had done a movie with him a couple years before, so we knew each other. And I come in, and you know, do you remember those days? I don't know. Did you have to audition for things? I mean, you're
oh my God,
instantly a star, weren't you? No,
I had to audition for The West Wing. To read
oh,
for it.
Fuck. Really?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, probably because you too have that.
Yes, it was what it was. They
that
didn't
persona
that's right.
that follows you around that
that's
this
right.
is who you are.
That's right.
But yeah. So I was at that place where like people were not sure that who I was going to be. And John, I remember going to the audition and he took me aside. He said, "You're my choice. You're the one." And was so, you know, embracing and kind of insisted. I mean, we were great together, so it worked out, but. And then he was just that guy. I mean, have you interviewed Kaylee yet? Quote.
I haven't interviewed her yet, but she and I work together and I adore her. I just adore her.
Well, you know, John really took her under his wing and she was, you know, she was 16 years old and he adored her. She was the greatest John Ritter audience I've ever seen. She just soaked him up.
Yeah.
And we all did, you know, he was, that was a big, that was a tragic loss. So weird.
Yeah.
Just very strange.
Very.
I feel him. I don't know if you have this. This might be a little too woo-woo, but I can feel energy around and I feel John Ritter around a lot.
Oh, I have that, by the way, same person, a heart issue. My great friend, Bill Paxton, the actor.
Yes.
Same. I feel Bill all the time. Like, I don't even feel my mother all the time, who passed away years ago.
Right.
But I feel Bill, like, literally, like, it's bizarre.
Yeah. I have the same with John, where I'm just kind of, I just feel like he kind of looks after me or something. I don't know. It's weird. You know, he was that big a heart. He, you know, no pun intended. Mm. But he was amazing.
How great. Absolutely. How great is he in Sling Blade?
Oh, amazing. So great. I mean, to me, he was a very underrated dramatic actor. Oh. You know, about not being able to get over your trope, you know, of the Jack Tripper of it all. I mean, he really, he was very well-rounded, more so than anybody knows.
He's a revelation in that movie. If you haven't seen, first of all, Sling Blade is one of the great movies ever made.
But, so great.
And Billy Bob Thornton, Dwight Yoakam.
Oh, that's right. Yoakam is great in that
beyond
movie.
Beyond belief. Well, anybody who cares anything about acting, if you haven't seen it, you must immediately tonight watch it.
Good.
But he's John, you're like, John Ritter, that Jack Tripper? Really? Which, you know, that's my thing, is I always feel like not super easy, but way easier for funny people to kill in drama than drama people to kill in comedy. In fact, if you think about it, I don't know the last time decorated drama person did kill it in a comedy, because I can tell you the reverse all the time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, I'm trying to think too.
There's no hilarious Daniel Day-Lewis comedy. I can tell you that.
No, none of those. Uh-uh. No. No, I agree with you. I think that, and you know, that was part of my frustration trying to, you know, switch over. And thank God, you know, Kurt wrote me that role in Sons. And, you know, the network stood behind it, which was like, I mean, because I remember when I did Lost, I had this big arc on Lost, and those guys made me come in, just like you had to audition for West Wing. I had to probably go in like three times to read for this role before they would give it to me. And I always felt, I don't know if you feel this way, I feel like I'm a comedic actor if the writing is funny. I do not feel like I'm just funny. And I just really feel much more dramatic.
You know, so dramatic.
As an actor, as a person. So I thought that was an interesting, I was very grateful that Kurt wrote me that role.
How did he tell you? Did he tell you he was going to write it? Was it a surprise? Was it a discussion? How does that work in the marriage?
Well, he had pitched this idea to FX and they bought it, and he wanted me to, she was originally written as sort of a Nancy Marchand, you know, like in The Sopranos, which was sort of a smaller mom role. And when he brought it to the network wanted the idea of Hamlet, which is basically, is it Hamlet or Macbeth? It's one of those.
Macbeth.
Yeah. And so they wanted to make the mom part bigger. That was sort of the what they saw. So he wrote it as a smaller role, and the network made it bigger. It was fantastic. And he, you know, my marriage is so supportive of each other, I would say. And he was so understood what it was that I could do and my frustration around not being able to really dig into something. And he just stood by it. And, you know, it's kind of a testament to a good marriage. That's what I would say. Right. And so he presented it to me. I was super excited, very excited.
So amazing. I'm trying to remember, and I know I should know this. He directed a lot of them, didn't he, himself?
He did. He directed a lot of the finales.
Did he direct the pilot?
And he acted. No, he didn't direct the pilot. Right. That was, I can't remember. You know, we did that thing where you reshoot most of the pilot. So there was one director, then there was another director, and there was some recasting that went on. And, but he directed quite a few. And then he was in it. You know, Kurt is an actor.
Yeah.
he's actually comes from that. That's why he's a good director. I love directors that are also actors, right?
The best.
To me, you know, like I love Adam Arkin. I love to work with
Adam. I love Adam. Adam's a very, very good friend of mine.
Isn't he a great guy?
The best. And I've never, I love him. I've worked with him as an actor on West Wing, but never as a director.
Oh, he's a great director. We have a very, we had to do a scene once in, that we always bring up in Sons of Anarchy, which was in an orphanage with a babe with babies. Oh. And I literally had to put a gun to a baby's head.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it was so dark. And Adam was the director. And we were so freaked out that that's what we had to do. And so whenever, that's our story that we always go to when we run into each other. But I see him quite a bit.
Yeah, whoever sees first gives Adam a hug. I'll probably see him this week. He's the absolute greatest. The weather is getting warmer. It's time to ditch the jackets and sweaters for shorts and tees. But there's no need to waste money on clothes that only last one season with Quince. Now you can get high-quality pieces that never go out of style. You'll be wearing year after year. Quince has all the seasonal must-haves like 100% European linen shirts for $30, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering with the top factories, Quince cuts out the middleman and passes the savings directly on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. My producer recently made an order for Quince, and here's what he had to say.
I'm really excited to revamp my closet with Quince. I cannot wait for my items to arrive from Quince. You know, I'm a sweater guy. I was looking at that burgundy cashmere crew neck. I love the blue chore jacket. Maybe I'll throw some joggers in there.
So upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/rob for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/rob to get free shipping and 360-day returns. quince.com/rob. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've been listening to Literally long enough, you'll know that I am a big believer in getting the help you need. Therapy has been a big, big, big part of my life and something I think we should be all doing as needed, just like checking the oil on your car. I've spoken about this and we all carry around different stressors, big and small. We keep them bottled in and it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe place to get the things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/roblo today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/roblo.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is, so you got this movie, by the way, I love that you don't know the studio. It reminds me of a time I, you know, these independent movies, they come and they tell you somebody's attached and you never really know. And it's all bullshit half the time. And somebody sent me some fucking script and we're like, and Christopher Walken's doing it. I'm like, I don't know. But I happened to know Chris. So I called him and I said, Chris, where am I calling you from? This area code is really weird. He goes, oh, I'm in Oklahoma. I go, what are you doing? Making a movie. I go, what is it called? Murder something. I'll never forget. Murder something.
Something, right. Well, I've done those. And I also, this one, I kind of, you know, I really liked the script. So, and I have a nice supporting role where I'm not like Sophie does all, she does all the heavy lifting, not me. So it's a nice supporting role. So it's great.
Well, enjoy Mexico City.
I will.
I haven't been there in years.
I know. I want to go to the Frida Kahlo house. Ooh. And the Humex Museum. Have you heard of that one?
Yes, I have.
See, I don't know.
Oh, and wait. Oh, the other thing. How have we talked about you and Curtin not mentioned your podcast? You got to walk me through this podcast. I'm super excited. I know nothing about it except the fact that you two are doing it makes me want to listen. That's all I know.
Yes. Well, we launch, I don't know all the dates. You'd have to talk to our producer, but it's soon.
Yep.
It's called PI. It's called People, Influences, and Experiences. It's a similar probably to what you're doing in that we're meeting people, mostly we're meeting people we don't know because we actually don't know a lot of people. We are not very, like sometimes I'll listen to, what's the one? Smartless.
Yes.
The Smartless podcast. Feels like those dudes know everybody on the planet.
Like, well, listen, here's the thing about Smartless. Don't get me started on Smartless. First of all, I love Smartless. I love those guys. They're so funny, but it's an unfair advantage. There are three of them, and right. They're all great. So right. It's like you can't compete. There's no competing.
Well, what I was about to say, like when I listen to them, I feel like I'm the kid that's left out at school because I don't know anybody. I'm like, you know, we're very not, you know, first of all, I kind of come up from music. So I didn't go to acting school. I didn't blah, 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 blah. So I don't know a lot of actors. And Kurt, too. We're just kind of like, you know, I don't know. Anyway, so the point is that our podcast is more about, we don't do a lot of research and we really are trying to meet people. And not talk so much about their work, but more about their family, their upbringing, their, you know, how they parent, you know, because we find it so interesting being married and raising children and how our history influences that. So, and then our big hook is that at the end of every episode, we ask our guests to tell us their favorite pie and we eat pie and we ask them why that's their favorite pie, which usually is some like wonderful childhood something. You know, it's like we had Rainn Wilson on and he was like, we had to find some obscure berry pie from Oregon. You know, there was a whole story behind the pie.
Oh, I really want to do your podcast because I have got a very serious pie storyline in my life. Very serious.
Oh, fantastic. Well, don't tell me.
I'm not going to lay it out here, but it is a big deal.
Love that.
Yes.
Yes. So that's kind of what our podcast is about. And we just, we don't do any research. That's the other part. Because we're a little bit lazy. We don't want to do too much research. We'd rather just come in at cold.
I agree with that. I agree. I think one of the reasons I started the podcast was I felt like interviews that were out there in the world for people were so structured and so, you know, the same things over and over. And I think the way to get around that is to know just, it's the way I've run my life. I know just enough to get by and certainly not a lot. That's kind of the way I roll.
Me too. And it's, you know, I tend to be a bit of a self-centered alcoholic. That's what I was saying.
That's what it is. That's what it is. It is. It's the alcoholic preparation.
I don't think I know too much about myself. So, it is sort of our way of, we thought our hook too is to be a married couple doing it, which is, you know, we like that concept.
Yeah, for sure.
As long as he doesn't offend me on air, we'll see. He's very irreverent.
Very irreverent. But that's also what people want. Well, this is great. Thank you. I'm going to be checking out Pi.
Thanks, Rob.
You are fucking amazing. I love that.
Thanks, Rob.
This is so great. And lots of stuff for us to do. Pi.
Okay, great. Awesome.
All right.
Thanks, Daron.
Bye. Love you.
Bye. Bye.
I don't know about you, but now she's put Pi in my head. And my diet is screwed. I'm like, I'm fumbling, stumbling, bumbling to Marie Callender's house of pies. God damn it. I hope you had fun. I had fun. She's a lovely, lovely woman. And as usual, It's time to check the lowdown line.
Hello, you've reached literally in our lowdown line, where you can get the lowdown on all things about me, Rob Lowe. 323-570-4551. So have at it. Here's the beep.
Hi, Rob. Love your podcast. Love you. I'm thinking back to the 80s in a movie called Class. And because I love Jacqueline Bisset so much, I would like you to talk about what was it like making that movie with her? Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you. Jackie, as we called her, Jackie Bisset. I never did know which it was. It might have been Bisset. She was amazing. She was so beautiful, first of all. And my main memory was she was very uncomfortable having a child my age on screen. And I didn't really get it. Now I'm 60. I get it. And so there are only three pictures, I think, in existence of us on screen together because she didn't want to be photographed with me because she, I was like, you know, we are making a movie, Jackie. They're going to see the movie. They're going to know. But she's very, very, very worried about that. And she was as lovely in person as you would think. And her performance is fantastic in that movie. And it was the first time I had really ever been around, you know, like a star who really knew how to light themselves. You know, she had her own special lights that were, you know, which I learned a lot from. It's amazing when actors understand that. It's super, super helpful. And it was great. We did all her stuff sort of at once. So she came in and went out, and then Andrew and I did the rest of the movie. And I'm very honored to have her as I know she hates for me to say it, but she was my mother. And it was an honor. Cliff Robertson and Jacqueline Bisset as your mother and father. It's pretty dope. Thank you for the call. We've got some pretty cool people coming up on the show. So don't forget to spread the word. Download the rest of the menu. We've got 200 of these. Come on now. I expect everybody to work their way through all of them. And I will see you next week on Literally.
You've been listening to Literally with Rob Lowe, produced by me, Sean Doherty, with help from associate producer Sarah Begar and research by Alyssa Grau. Engineering and mixing by Joanna Samuel. Our executive producers are Rob Lowe for Low Profile, Nick Liao, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross for Team Coco, and Colin Anderson for Stitcher. Booking by Deirdre Dodd. Music by Devin Bryant. Special thanks to Hidden City Studios. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Literally.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.